You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
1 Samuel 24, if you turn there, please. 1 Samuel 24 had such an amazing Purim last week. Best ever. Wasn't it amazing? Thank you all for help, for all who helped. Now, everyone stand who helped. That's here, and that, well, all the kids are, everyone's downstairs, but anyone here, is, if you helped to orchestrate that, is everyone, or is everyone downstairs? So, everyone's already down. Should have done it earlier. What's that?
There's people up here that did the food part too.
The food? Yeah, every part of it was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Mary's like, gosh, she's like a chef, like Excel, unbelievable. I mean, gosh. Well, I'm looking forward to Passover with together. Excuse me. Anyway, so David is still on the run here. Oh, yeah, and we are going there afterwards. Joanne left a message, by the way. Text me. We are going there afterwards, Paul, tell her. So, yes, we will. I mean, and right here. Let's see. So, I shared that, Benny. Henny Youngman thing last week about how he keeps has kept their marriage lasting so long for 59 years. I mean, and you know, he said that. Remember, we said what we go out, twice a week, a special restaurant, romantic music. What is it? It was just like candlelight, everything. And then he said, she goes Tuesday and I go Friday, my wife said something. That's not us. That's not us. She goes Monday and I go Thursday. So it's like, that was real. I hadn't read that one before. But David is on the run here. He's hunted by Saul, and as I said in the prayer, this is shaping him. This is shaping David into a great leader over his people. These difficulties, the tension, the difficulties. And listen, here's a point I really want to make. The biggest point, I think, out of this message, this chapter this week, is perhaps this. A seeming opportunity may be actually a test from God to reveal our integrity or our lack thereof. A seeming opportunity. Because that's what happens here with David. It seems to all his friends, his army, his guys, that God has given them a great opportunity to finally knock off Saul. And it just looks perfect. And yet, David, his ear beats to another drummer or whatever that statement was. Remember, I hear another drummer. Was that Henry David Thoreau, I think? he hears the Lord. And it's not that. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. But everyone else seemed like it was. So let's look at the story. And it says, now when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, they told him, look, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. En-Gedi. Let's show some pictures. Look, let's say En-Gedi. En-Gedi, hill of the mountain, hill, no, spring. Spring of the goats, but it's really ibex is what are there, and we'll show them. But look at those pictures of En-Gedi, my favorite spot in Israel. It's an oasis, around close to the Dead Sea. And that's actually a picture, that's actually Frances there. Can you see her in the, near the waterfall? That's actually, it really is, on one of our trips there. Can't go without going swimming in the Dead Sea. In the springs, there are several of them. I think five succession going up. You got to hike up there, and it's really worth it. There's lower ones if you can't hike far, but I always wear your bathing suit and plan to get wet. cold ice, cold water in when it's 110 degrees outside. I mean, everywhere else, it's unbelievable. So. Our May 2020 tour will be going, so mark it on your calendar. May, what are the dates? 13 through 20, I think, or 13? I don't have the dates here, but May 2020. I think it'll be on the website soon if it's not. Miranda just redesigned the website. Thank you, Miranda. Saw her there. There she is. Yeah, thank you, Miranda. Thank you for, she's made it beautiful, and so I have to check it out more and start, help. And anything else I need to add, but But here, Saul, it says in verse 2, let's just look at here. Saul takes 3,000, that's larger than before, 3,000 chosen men from all Israel. So this is a larger contingent he's bringing with him, Israel. And he goes to search for David and his men near the rocks of the mountain goats. So David's 600 men are maybe with him. Remember, he has 600, from 200 now to 600, but that's no match for 3,000. But strategy and toughness can beat power any day. Strategy, and David has strategy, and they're tough. And I'll show a picture of the ibex. These are the mountain goats. Go back there, just back one. Thanks, Sam. And those are actually all goats, these ibex. They're a form of mountain goat, all over the cliffs. And they're amazing. Their balance is unbelievable. I was reading some tour guide's thing. He said, I've never in all my trips ever seen one slip on these cliffs, these edges of these cliffs. They just can get into these rocks and crevices. Now you can go to the next one. So that's what they look like. And they're really, really cool animals. So that's what there are all over there still today, a goat-like animal mentioned in Psalm 104:18. And so this mountainous, rocky region was very good for hiding for David and his people. And so they're in a cave. In verse 3, they're in a cave, and they're in the back of a long, like a cavern, really. Don't think of a little cave, but and I've got some pictures of that. Keep going. But they're in a cave. There's a cave. You know, that's really up in the north of Israel. It's really not in the south. But there are caves, and just to give you eye pictures. And they're way back in the cave. And look what happens in verse 3. Saul went in to relieve himself. And David, his men were already sitting in the innermost part of the cave. So Saul. And interesting enough, David wrote Psalm 57 and 142 during this time. Both are written during this time. So just jumping over there for a minute, Psalm 57, and then we'll go back. 57, we read it in the responsive reading. Be gracious to me, when he fled from Saul in the cave, be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I take refuge until destruction passes by. He's being hunted by Saul and his men, all 6,000 men, or 3,000 men, rather. I will cry out to El Elyon, God Most High, to God who accomplishes it for me. God is going to accomplish this for me, he's praying. He's saying, God, you're going to do what I can't do. And he'll send from heaven and save me. And when you see Selah there, he rebukes one trampling. The one trampling on me, Selah, is really, I always just translate, think about it. Stop and just think about it. You know, there was a musical interlude, you know, is what it was. And you would just meditate, think about what God is going to do and what you know, let it sink in, whatever it is that you've been saying. God is sending out his mercy. And look at these. So my soul is in the midst, verse 5, of lions. Look at the fear. All the whose teeth are men, sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongue is a sharp sword. And then in the midst of that, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth. He's praising God. He said, I'm still going to praise you, and I'm not going to focus on them. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to tell you about it, but then I'm going to lift you up and trust you. They're spread, he goes on, net for my steps, like a net for my step, my soul's bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, etc., but they fell into themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I'll sing, I'll make music. And so the rest is praising God. Psalm 142, similar. He says, when David was in the cave, a prayer. So what do your prayers sound like? What do they look like when you're in a cave? Really, when you're in a cave or I'm in a cave, what do my prayers look like to God? Are they like this, like David's? I cry aloud in my voice to God. In my voice I seek favor from Adonai, Psalm 142. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. My spirit grows faint within me. You know my path. You know, when my spirit grows faint within me, you know my path in the way where I walk. What a I'm trusting you. You know God. You know all things. And you can see David's heart after God. And this is what's so beautiful. Remember, David, 1 Samuel 13:14, God said, I will have a man whose heart is after me. It really means like mine. A man who has a heart like I do. That's what David is. And we see that so powerfully in 1 Samuel 24. Why? Well, let's look. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 24 and see. So Saul goes to relieve himself. It actually, the Hebrew doesn't say relieve. It says to cover his feet. To cover his feet is what it says in the Hebrew. It's a euphemism for going number one and two, evidently. So he wanted privacy. And you know, I joke with the person at the Starbucks, because they have some of the new ones they had. And this is common. This is not. It's just new for us, but Europe has always been like, you have a bathroom with a picture of a man and a woman on it. You know, so anyone, it's not a men's room versus women's room. So I joke with them. I'm going to, and I could say real serious. I said, there's a lot of people waiting back there for the other person to come. So they can go in together. You know, you need. And they look, really, really. Anyway, you get it. Have to, man and woman, you have to go in together. Anyway, and one says, no, it doesn't mean that. I said, I know it doesn't mean that. But anyway, Saul is evidently, that's why he was there, privacy. Maybe there were shepherds about to those areas, they say, and who knows. So he's there, and David and his men are inside the cave, as I said, and now, look what they say in verse 4. Look at this. They say, look, his men to David say, where it is, find it here. Look, it's the day, David's men said, look, it's the day Adonai spoke to you about. Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, so you may do to him as seems good in your eyes. And so then David crept and cut off the corner of Saul's robe stealthily. He cut off the bottom of his robe. He's obviously resting, asleep, I don't know how he did it, but he cut off part of his robe, and David, but afterward, David's conscience bothered him. His heart, it doesn't really say that. His heart struck and disabled him. Yeah, his heart smote him, or struck and disabled is what the Hebrew word said. But I'll mention that in a little bit. So you see David's heart. I'll go back to that in a little bit. But that's all he did. He didn't kill him. He cut off his robe and his conscience, and fellow men said, Adonai forbid that I, or he said, that I should do such a, touch the Lord's anointed. And they wanted still him to kill Saul. So they thought this was a great opportunity. So here's what I want us to think about for a little bit today. People can, and possibly with very good intentions, quote the word of God even out of context. Actually, there's no reference. There's no scripture that says what those men said. The Lord had said to you, they say in verse 4, the Lord spoke to you about, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. So there's no reference where God said that to David. We don't have any. And so maybe it was a saying, maybe it was something that someone else had said. People can do that, often out of good intentions, but this wasn't even a prophecy in scripture. But a person can make a premature judgment based upon circumstances which seem to fit the situation. Bad advice from friends, well-meaning, but not from God. Misinterpreting circumstances. Whose advice do I follow? Man's or God's? Man's or God's? Be careful not to be pressured, not to be pressured into premature action. Has that ever happened to you? You've gotten pressure from someone who you love and loves you maybe and means well, but you get pressured into doing something and it's not God's time. I know I have. Look what happens here. David, it wasn't God's time for him to take out Saul. And I don't mean take him out to dinner either. But the pressure comes. You know, here's what happened. We need to act now. You got to do this now. Uh-oh. We need to know now. No, you don't. We need to act now. No, you don't. But God obviously wants you to. He's arranged this. Don't miss your opportunity. Oh, my gosh. How many things you get notices from emails and phones. This is your opportunity. Jump in now or you're going to miss it. You know, oh, my marketing. Garbage. But God actually has an entirely different plan in mind here. Different timing, different means, and a different outcome. You see it? I finally got Francis to sit down and watch a movie. It was too late last night. We watched, but it's a movie called The Book of Henry. Anyone see it? With Naomi Watts. It wasn't rated well, but I loved it. It was phenomenal. A mother is going to kill, and in the situation, I hate to spoil it for you, but I'm going to use it as an illustration. Yeah, I'm going to spoil it. Anyway. But she's going to kill basically a sexual predator. She's about to do it and then realizes that she's being guided and influenced by a youth, her son, who to do it. That's not really, she's not, just after the last minute, she's about to do it and then she stops and confronts this predator and it turns out that he's, I'm not going to finish. I don't want to tell you. I'm going to spoil for you. It's really good. No, I don't want to spoil for you. I want you to see it. It's really a good movie. But it's great what happens. But the point is, she was going to take premature action. And it all seemed great. It all seemed, everything lined up. It was like the perfect. And then she said, no. She all of a sudden it hit her. No, I'm not supposed to do this. And she didn't say, like, God would do it. But that's basically what happened. I mean, ended up working out. He got his. So. They said, "Do this." Men of David said to him, "Do as seems good in your eyes." So your friends or family may even give you permission to do in the name of God, because they're talking about in the name of God what He hasn't, what He doesn't want you to do, or me to do. Listen to these verses: John 16, verses 14 and 15. When people saw the sign that Yeshua performed, they began to say, "This is most certainly the prophet who is come into the world." Realizing that they were about to come and seize him by force to make him king, Yeshua withdrew again to the mountain himself alone. John 6, 14, verses 14 and 15. It wasn't his time to be king yet. It might seem like, for David, the perfect opportunity you have to expedite matters. We have the chance to rid ourselves of the problem once and for all. It might be vengeance on our enemies. It might be a problem person I want out of my life. Extricate the trouble. A seeming opportunity may be a test from God, again, to reveal our integrity or the lack of it. It might be the ideal job offer, but in order to get it, you have to compromise your values and your character to do it. Saul, being brought into the same cave as David, was a divine opportunity, but not to kill him, rather to show mercy to him and show him David's true heart and intentions. And that's what happened. If I think that's for you. Okay. It's not on Shabbat mood, definitely. Romans 12, verses 19 through 21. Never take... All right. Romans 12... Romans 12, 19. Romans 12, 19 through 21. It says, never take your own vengeance. Romans 12, 19. Never take your own vengeance, loved ones, but give room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is whose?
Mine.
I will repay, says the Lord. And it's many times in the Tanakh, many times in the scriptures. Deuteronomy, it's in Leviticus, Deuteronomy 32, Isaiah 59, 61, and 63, Psalm 94, Proverbs 24, many verses where God says, "I'll vengeance is mine. Don't you get your own vengeance. I will do it. I'm the judge. I will do it in my time, my way." Rather, it says in Romans here, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing so, you'll heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Exactly what David did. Proverbs 20, verse 22. It's even mentioned in verse 8:17. Saul says, "You did good for me. I did evil to you. You did good to me." Proverbs 20, 22. Do not say, "I will pay back evil. Wait for Adonai, so he may deliver you." Psalm 37, verses 32 and 34. The wicked lies in wait for the righteous, seeking to slay him. Wait for Adonai and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And now that doesn't mean, by the way, in terms of action and someone else is being, you know, hurt or anything, I don't just wait for God, you know, take action, but intervene. But we're talking about vengeance. Will I concede to the temptation to act independently outside of the Lord's direction, influenced by man rather than by God? I can easily justify it through scripture, through peer support. Actually, the rabbis all say David had the right to kill Saul. He really did, according to the Torah, according to all the understanding of Jewish law. He had a right to. Well, I can justify it through scripture, through peer support, or will I instead follow my heart, which is maintaining a close connection and submission to God's? David is a man, it's literally, I translate it, like God's heart, 1 Samuel 13, 14, a man like his heart. Think of the story. There's a story in Luke 9, chapter 9, where it says, verse 51, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and he went and entered a Samaritan village. Remember the story? To make arrangements for him. They went. His disciples went to make arrangements. But the Samaritans in this village, they did not receive him. In other words, they wouldn't let him stay there, because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James or Jacob and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, So they're pro-Israel, and so they're rejected. So they're going, he's going to Jerusalem. They believe Jerusalem belonged to the Jewish people. Okay. "So, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven?" They said, the disciples, they said, "Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. He also did this of the evil spirits, by the way. The same word rebuke means to do that, to put them in their place. And he said, "You don't know what kind of spirit you're of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. I think that's a good parallel situation, illustration. So David, after cutting the Saul's robe, remember Samuel's prophecy in chapter 15, had prophesied, it seems to have been a prophecy that Saul would tear, his robe would be teared, and this would be the next king. So David's conscience, as I said, it's not conscience, his heart, lev, let's say the word lev, so you can get that. Perfect. Lev David. Let's say Lev David, the heart of David. And that's the word nacha. I want to say nacha. Nacha, it struck him. His heart, it's really weird translate, really hard to the framing of the words. But David's heart upon him, struck and disabled, it means, though. Nacha means to strike and disable. So he's can't function. He can't function. He's torn. It says, you know, and then there's Jewish guilt, which is different. That's we beat ourselves up over the wrong things. but David is, this is a heart sensitive to God, walking closely with the Lord. Don't you want that? I know you do. A tender heart towards God, I want to have a sensitive to the least violation of God's law. Is my heart that way? So that it hurts me to disobey the Lord. Even though everyone else says, you're fine, you're okay. I know that I'm not. I know differently. That's where we need to be. That's David. And he says, how can I do? God forbid, verse 6, the Lord's anointed, stretching out my hand against him. He's God's anointed. Samuel had anointed him with oil, poured oil, remember? And so here's a few verses for that. Why wouldn't he strike God's anointed? Psalm 105:15 says, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Hebrews 13:7 and 17, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as one who must give account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for this would be no benefit to you. Pray for us, the writer of Hebrews says. David persuades and prevents his men then from killing Saul in verse 7. The men want to do it, and he stops them. And he says again in verse 10, I'll not stretch my hand against the Lord's anointed. Don't slander, may I say, I just read, don't slander the president, even if you don't agree with him or like him. Of course you can disagree with policies and even oppose policies you disagree with. We're in a democracy. We well should. Criticism in that way is okay. Ridicule is not okay. We respect the office if you don't, may not even respect the person in certain cases. You respect the office. God has put them. Romans 13, 1 and 2. God places people in positions of authority, and those opposing, God says, bring judgment on themselves. We bring it on ourselves. Lashon hara in rabbinic terminology. Evil tongue. An evil tongue. Slander. Never slander. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. So, David says in verses 12 and 15, may the Lord judge between me and you regarding when he confronts Saul. Remember, he runs, goes outside with the piece of his robe. I was going to bring something to show. And he says, here I am. Says, look what I could have done to you. I got you. I could have taken care, knocked you out, but I didn't. And Saul ends up breaking down and weeping. And Saul is really, you know, and David describes himself. He says, I'm just a dead dog and a single flea in verse 14, how he describes himself. A dead dog and one flea. Why are you trying to kill me? You know, he has his humility, his right estimation of himself. But I don't recommend so describing yourself when you're going for a job interview. When you go for a job interview, don't say, I'm just a dead dog and a flea. You don't want to hire me. Why should you hire me? No, and that's different. But David has the right estimation of himself. No, you can. You're the right person for the job. You are that person. So I just want to say, You go for it. Go for it. God wants you, and if you can influence, not compromise. You know, you can do. But anyway, he says, and we see the language here, verses 11 and 16. I want to bring this to a close. But he says, even he calls Saul my father, and Saul calls him my son. It's very sad. Saul, you know. He says, you've done good to me, Saul, breaking down weeping. I've done evil to you. Let's say these words for good and evil. Tova, there we go. Ha tova, let's say that. Ha tova, you've done good to me. Ha ra'a. Ha ra'a. Ha ra'a, you've done evil. Ra'a and tov, or tova is the feminine form. You've done evil. You've done good to me. I've done evil. Saul says, Matthew 5:44. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Yeshua said. So, even Saul says, Adonai, or David says, Adonai had delivered me. Verse 18 through 20. Up into your hand, may the Lord reward you. I'm sorry, Saul saying, Adonai delivered. He recognizes God has done this, and. Behold, he says, I know for certain you will be king. He's actually prophesying now over David again. And when God's spirit takes over a person, it doesn't matter the vessel. God will speak through anyone that he wants to, when he wants to, the truth. And we have to ask, is Saul bipolar? I mean, is he? He seems to be like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There's remorse here, but there's not repentance. Sort of like Judas in the New Testament. David's humility affects him greatly, but he doesn't seem to truly turn, repent back to God. And so I'll just close with this saying, we all have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, a godly side and a wicked side. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know it, that side. The old man and the new man, the flesh and the spirit. In Judaism, Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Hatov, the evil inclination, the good inclination. The question is, which will I say yes to? To which will I give a green light to, and which will I give a red light to you? It's up to you. It's up to me which one I will. And I'll close this. I said, well, Galatians 5, where we had in the reading, I put in the reading, the responsive reading. Galatians 5, he says, walk, this I say, 16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Flesh is against the Spirit, the Ruach, and the Ruach or Spirit against the flesh. You can't do the what you want. The real you wants to follow God, wants to do the right thing. That I love that. I don't know if you catch that, but first quote that years ago in Galatians 5:18. He says 5:17. He says that you cannot do that. All the tension, all the battle says you can't do what you want. Who's the you? The person that loves God. The person that wants to do the right thing. Wants to let the Spirit control. That's the you. That's how God sees you. He doesn't see me or you. You or me. Your eye as the evil or the flesh or the old man. He sees us as really the right, the new, the person created in his image that loves him, the new creation. And then he says, you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, verse 18, for the deeds of the flesh are clear, and he mentions sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy. Thank you, Roger, for sharing that earlier. Rage and selfish ambition and dissension and factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. In other words, continue on the list. That's not an exhaustive list. There's more. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then out of love, joy, peace, all that comes because God is love. 1 John 4:8 and 4:16, of course, and Exodus 34. He says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there's no law. Those who belong to Messiah now have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, the Ruach, or the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And so we need to choose, make a decision when we're tempted. When all these things come, am I going to do it, take it into my own hands? Am I going to just do Given to temptation, or am I going to give in to God's Spirit and God's Word? Let God guide me and trust Him. And so the 1 Samuel 24 concludes with Saul goes back home, verse 22, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Many believe the stronghold was Masada. That's what we believe. Some pictures of that if you turn there. Next slide, please. There, Masada. There's a stronghold. Many believe that was, let's say, Mitsuda. That's actually Hamitsuda Masada. Yeah, there is Masada. Show another picture. I've got a few of them there. It's amazing. How many have been to Masada? How many have been there? A lot of people. Great. Well, come with us in 2020, May 2020. We're going to go again. This time I want to hike up early in the morning. You got it. We're going to stay overnight. Maybe we can hike up early in the morning. Handle it. Keep going. Let's see. That's it? Okay, go back. So David goes home. David goes back. Let's go back. There's David. His men going up to the stronghold. Yeah. All right. There they go. All right. So until we meet again, Father, we just thank you.